Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Nancy, this experience was so great to be able to respond to some conversations that you've started with me, both introspective about my own business and what I can think differently and how I can approach the business differently, but also to now respond to some new shocks that none of us have ever seen. I mean, we're combining three different years, 1918, 1968, and 2008, all this year, but to talk through it with your listeners and to talk through it through your framework has been extremely helpful. So thank you for being my mentor, and thank you for helping me think through these issues along with your clients.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Barbara Winter, oh my gosh, is joining me today from her sofa with sunglasses on in Valencia, California, which is in the Los Angeles County, because they're experiencing triple digit temperatures and lots of sun. Hi, Barbara. So our conversation today is about employee mindset versus entrepreneurial mindset. So how to move past the mindset that we've been trained in to make a living without a job, which is the title of Barbara's book that she wrote in 1993, which is when we met shortly thereafter its publication. I think we met in 1995. Barbara, you lived in Minnesota.
I did.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful time living in Minnesota. And that's really when my business took off.
Oh.
During the time I was there.
Okay. You're a pioneering self-employment advocate. You're a writer and teacher who has spent the last 30 years pondering the question, why aren't we all self-employed? Helping others discover the joyfully jobless life is her favorite occupation. To readers of Winning Ways newsletter, the longest-running self-employment publication of its kind, she is editor and publisher. Readers of Making a Living Without a Job, a book that's been in print since 1993 and updated in 2009, know Barbara as the author. Participants in Barbara's seminar of the same name, along with others, including Establish Yourself as an Expert and How to Support Your Wanderlust, know her as a passionate teacher. She also leads retreats to help small business owners bring creative thinking and fresh ideas into their work. She's convinced that small is still beautiful and loves working with one-person enterprises, also known as solopreneurs and micro-businesses. Barbara is also an intrepid world traveler and curious lifelong learner. When she isn't out exploring the world, she can be found blogging at joyfullyjobless.com, connecting with other entrepreneurs, or Facebook, or reading a really good book, or talking to people like myself. Welcome to the program.
Why, thank you for inviting me.
You and I first met when I read your book. I was so enthralled by it. And I had started my business in 1992. And there weren't a lot of role models for me. And when I read your book, I was so uplifted that I thought, you know what? Whenever I have a new client, I'm going to give them your book. And so you and I used to meet over lunch and you would bring me like a stack of 10 books at a time. So I had purchased them from you.
What a lovely, lovely pastime.
Yeah. And the Good Earth restaurant, I mean, you can't get any better than that.
I was just thinking Good Earth, I bet. Yep.
Yeah, in the Galleria in Edina, Minnesota. Just a fantastic way to meet with a treasured longtime mentor and friend. And so I'm so excited to have you here. And we have a sponsor. Today's sponsor is Sally Doyle, and she's sponsored many of our podcasts. Thank you, Sally. Sally just rebranded her company to Great Lakes Bookkeeping. Great Lakes Bookkeeping not only provides relief from the boring and tedious bookkeeping tasks, but also uses the information as a roadmap to advise owners of opportunities that can help their business. With over 20 years of experience and expertise, owners trust Sally to help them achieve their goals and dreams. Right now, you can reach Sally to get a profit analysis and cash flow projections. If you've been a regular listener, you heard from Matt Clark, a vice president and relationship manager for U.S. Bank's Twin Cities Emerging Business Group, say that business owners are not doing cash flow projections. It's critically important to your success. So call Sally to get it done, or you can reach her at greatlakesbookkeeping.com. If you're calling her, call 1-651-208-8151 and connect with Sally today. All right. Barbara, you mentioned in our conversation that you could talk forever about the employee mindset versus the entrepreneurial mindset. Why don't you roll out how you discovered that this concept that we've been trained to think and be for such, you know, since we were little?
Well, first of all, we have to recognize that that's what happened. I think one of the most startling statistics I have read is that in 1900, 9 out of 10 of us were self-employed. And by the time we got to 2000, it was just reversed. And 9 out of 10 of us worked for somebody else. So that has been something that all of us grew up with, was the encouragement to get a job. Right. And I think when we start questioning that or start thinking about, well, is there something else I could do or have an idea that we're just really passionate about and want to do something with, we don't realize how that training that we've had for most of our lives really gets in our way, that we have to think very differently when we're thinking about running our own business. And so, you know, I have fallen in love with Mexico, which is the biggest surprise of my life. And I decided during the pandemic that I was going to learn to speak Spanish. I have never learned a second language, which I think is a real hardship. And I happen to have next door neighbors who have come from South America, and they have 2 kids that are like 5 and 8, and they only speak Spanish in the house, and then when they go out the front door, they speak English. So these kids are growing up bilingual, and I'm jealous as all get out about that. Mm-hmm. But as I am attempting to learn Spanish, I have thought of this a long, long time, that becoming entrepreneurial is very much like learning a new language, that we're dealing with a whole different mindset, a whole different vocabulary, a whole different approach to problem solving, idea generation, and we need to be patient with ourselves and realize that this isn't an overnight thing. We can't just get up tomorrow morning and say, okay, now I think like an entrepreneur. And it's ironic when I think about this, Nancy, that I grew up in a small town in southern Minnesota, and everyone was self-employed when I was growing up. I mean, all my classmates' parents had their own business. My father was an electrician who worked for a small electrical company in the town, and then one day he came home in a new truck, and on the side of the truck it said Winter Electric, and he had decided he was going to work for himself. And so this was a very common thing, you know, and yet I think of the kind of encouragement I got in high school about finding a career. And it had more to do with finding a job than creating something of my own. And so, you know, it was there was a lot of undoing of that thinking that put me in places I really didn't want to go. And so part of what I try to do is help other entrepreneurs and new entrepreneurs, you know, make it a less painful journey. And one thing that is incredibly helpful right at the beginning is to start making connections with other people who are also self-employed. And often we don't realize until that moment comes for us that we don't know anybody who's self-employed.
Right.
And so it's, you know, it's something that we have to become very intentional about. And even doing things like listening to your podcasts and hearing other entrepreneurs talk about their journeys can be incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started teaching Making a Living Without a Job seminars in Minneapolis at OpenU, and they were always on a Thursday night. And when I got the idea, I thought it was so radical that it was something that we would do a couple times and that would be it. There wouldn't be that much interest in it.
Yeah.
And the first time it was in the catalog, I got a call from Bob Walling, the director, and he said, "You better know how to make a living without a job because we have twice as many people wanting to come as we've got room for."
Oh, my gosh.
And so the first year, I think, when I was doing classes there, they were always on a Thursday night. And I started doing something. I would say at the beginning of a class, "How many of you came here tonight without telling anyone where you were going?" And everyone would raise their hands.
Oh, wow.
And I would say, "Look around the room. You know, there's 35 other people here who are just as crazy as you are." But, I mean, that's really powerful to know that.
Yeah.
That you aren't the only one thinking this absurd thought. And so, in many ways, this was such a learning experience also for me because, as I said, I thought this was such a radical notion. This wasn't really my grand plan. But I tell people that I'm working with now, get comfortable with auditioning your ideas. Try them out. You don't know which ones are your best ideas until you put them out there and then make a decision afterwards. You know, how did that feel? This, you know, I really had the opportunity to do that with OpenU because they were new in town. They were eager for courses. Anything I would send them, they'd let me put in the catalog.
So tell us a little bit about OpenU, how it's not connected to any one university. And right. Is it still going?
No. The independent adult ed programs just flourished all over the country in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then I think the internet kind of replaced them, which is really a shame because, you know, if you mention it to anyone and say, you know, it's different getting information in a room full of other explorers than it is doing a Google search, everybody knows what you're talking about. We all have that experience. Yeah, it's totally different. And so it's really a shame. But I would send them suggestions. Sometimes I'd be excited about an idea for a class, and we wouldn't get a very good response. Sometimes we'd get a good response to a class, but I'd walk out after it was over and think, that wasn't that much fun. I'm not going to do that one again. Mm-hmm. So it was wonderful because I could try out my ideas. And then, you know, afterwards, it's like, how do I feel now that I've done that?
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good tool to apply to everything that we do when we're running a business. Try things out. Don't reserve judgment until it's over and see what your response is. And you know, there will be times you'll try out ideas that may not get a response that you like, but you know in your heart that you want to keep doing it, that there are people that could be benefiting from the idea. And so, you know, maybe you have to change your marketing, or maybe you haven't quite connected with the right clients or whatever. You adjust as you go. But that willingness to just keep improving is pretty much part of the entrepreneur's journey, and considerably more interesting and fun than just showing up and doing the same thing from 9 to 5 every day.
Yeah, and that fits with the concept out there, the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the fixed mindset is with the employee, that there's a certain way of thinking about your career. There's a certain ladder you go through, you get this degree or that degree, you go into the field. But that is not how our economy is, especially not now anymore.
No.
And so the growth mindset is where it's not about climbing ladders. It's really about exploring ideas and giving you the autonomy to really fail, you know, in different ways. So the perspective is you're looking at life as a journey of learning. So
exactly.
Therefore, your outlook is less about fear, although, you know, it's there, but it's about acceptance. It's about the uncertainty is there where you're seeking, and the new experiences that you acquire, you start to build abroad. That's what makes it fun. Don't you think, Barbara? Over the years, you know, decades later, after running our businesses, that we're still having fun with them.
Exactly. And the ups and downs also make for great storytelling.
Absolutely.
Once you have survived the storm, you know, I always think in the back of our heads, many of us think, well, I want my story to be, I started a business, it was wildly successful. End of story. That's so boring.
Right.
So, you know, if that was a book, that would be 2 pages.
Yeah.
And the ups and downs are part of it, and they're part of our learning experience too. And I think probably, you know, if somebody had asked me 40 years ago, what do you need to run a business? I would think, oh, you've got to want to market. I wouldn't say that at all anymore. I would say you got to be a lifelong learner and just get excited about learning and exploring. And if you do that.
Yeah, because then you're learning from your mistakes, or learning about different aspects of what will work in the marketplace or not, or you keep trying new things.
Exactly. And you get a better... You know, and the longer you go, you get a clearer notion of who you really like to work with, the kinds of people you like to work with, and where they are, and how you can connect with them. And, you know, just all those things that are very mysterious at the beginning is just all part of your exploration. It's like, you know, it's like you're traveling to a new land.
Yeah. So when I was teaching, I had an adjunct position at St. Mary's University for 13 years while I was running my business. And then I was part-time faculty at St. Catherine's University. And what I loved about your, and still do about your book, is you address the employee versus entrepreneurial mindset by, in your book, Making a Living Without a Job, you talk about getting to know your boss. So,
Yeah. You
know, the journey of becoming joyfully jobless and thinking about your, and I thought it was interesting. You have like a chapter on finding your lost passion. So I normally hear people uncover your passion, but not really find your lost passion. So what do you mean by that?
Well, I think that all of us have, on the way up, growing up, have had things that we were attracted to. And if we were able to participate in them, became really passionate about. And then, let me give you an example.
Yeah.
This also comes out of the entrepreneur, of the employee mindset. I have a sister who spent 25 years working for a major publishing company as a book rep. And when she left, she started her own business making fascinators. Do you know what a fascinator is?
No.
It's those kind of funky little, they're not hats. They're more like head decorations.
Oh.
Made out of tulle and flowers and things. And the first year she was doing that, every time I would see her, she would say very seriously, is it really okay to get paid to have so much fun? And I would assure her it was perfectly all right. And I think very often the things that we think of as our passions, there's some guilt about that. You know, it's okay to get paid if you're miserable. But if you're really having a good time, shouldn't that just be enough? And, you know, actually, when we are dealing with our passion and it's a really important part of our daily activity, it's perfectly not only all right to get paid for it, but it's such a, you know, it's what keeps us able to keep doing it more and more and more and growing it.
Yeah.
So, but again, all that mindset thing, you know, it doesn't just get wiped out in a short time. That's also part of our learning journey as entrepreneurs. And it's so encouraging when we have that moment of recognition, like, wow, I just overcame something that was really holding me back.
Yeah.
You know, we have those moments where, it, you know, we can see that we are progressing and that, you know, those moments where we do something that we realize, oh my gosh, 2 years ago, I would never have been able to do that.
Right.
And that's so powerful to see that we are becoming more of what we're capable of being. So, you know, I think that making a living without a job is the ultimate personal development program.
Yeah, absolutely. And getting your Winning Ways newsletter, you are just phenomenal with your degree in English and your teaching a background. I mean, you are such a fantastic storyteller. And so I thoroughly enjoy every article I've written, read of yours with Winning Ways. And I just really enjoyed your book. I've read it more than once because you look at it from a different angle the longer you're kind of in business. But
absolutely. And I can't remember who said it, but I think of it so often, a quote that says, when you reread a book and find more in the book than you did before, it's not because the book has changed. It's because there's more in you. And I have certainly had that experience as a reader where I go back and read the book a year or two later and go, wow, I never noticed this last time or whatever. And I have also recently, working with people, have had so many people who've told me they have read my book many, many times. And I think, consciously or not, as I was writing it, I really wanted it to be that kind of book. It wasn't just about how to get started, but how to keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And you had mentioned, Barbara, when we were in one of our conversations, you updated your book in 2009 from 1993, and the concepts in your book have fared over time. Like even right. your second chapter about doing your homework and really you talk about taking care of the boss. So, you know, that's about self-care. That's huge right now. I have seen that people are not taking care of their well-being in the way that will really benefit them because they're focused on taking care of everybody else. But the right. fact that you have written about that in 1993, you know, is an ongoing issue, you know, that it doesn't come just naturally. Like we have to train ourselves to put these practices in place in which we take care of ourselves. That's one right. of the reasons I started teaching meditation and also yoga, although I integrate yoga stretches into, you know, sessions with clients and in labs, because it's an integral part, especially if you're meeting with people, you know, for over Zoom for long periods of time, back-to-back meetings. It's just nice to have a place where you can do some stretching to acknowledge your body
right.
while you're working.
Right. And there are a lot of people who, as they're building their businesses, try to have different kinds of activities, some that are more cerebral and some that are more physical, just to get that balance. But something else I want to say, Nancy, that I've noticed and find quite fascinating is that people who are self-employed become very conscious of when of their own body rhythms, and they kind of schedule their work around when they have the most energy to tackle it. So it, you know, it may not look anything like 9 to 5. I once had a webmaster who was nocturnal.
Yeah.
And when his family went to bed at night, he would start working. And so if I had a question for him, I'd email him, but I knew I wouldn't have an answer until I got up the next morning. Because while I was sleeping, he answered my question. And I just find that really fascinating when people are aware of that. I have even discovered for me seasonal differences, different times of the year, I have different energy levels, and also days of the week. So I have spent my Sundays very quietly, and Mondays I am a tornado. I just get so much done. Tuesdays, not so much. Tuesdays, I have a very low attention span. And so I have learned, oh, that's a day you do errands, because you just are not going to focus on anything. And then Wednesdays, we get back to writing that book you've been working on, that kind of thing. So... but, you know, that's all part of our personal growth and becoming aware of creating a business that really fits us.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that you're going to have 100 employees. It means that you're going to carve out your livelihood, not just to replace a paycheck, but
right.
really build out the expansiveness of the work in a way in which will work for you and your family and for, you know, the clients. Or, I mean, if you're doing a manufacturing company, you've got to, you know, develop the infrastructure totally different. But it,
right.
but you still need to take care of yourself. You still need to be in touch with the rhythms of, you know, when you're most productive in creating and maybe, you know, where you're getting funding or, you know, how you're putting presentations together. But what is your take on how an entrepreneur builds out their livelihood?
That is such an interesting question, because the other day, I posted something on Facebook that got a huge response. And I'm going to read it to you.
Yeah.
Because I thought it might fit in. Too many of us grew up thinking we'd have to work at a job that might be boring, but would give us money to do things we enjoyed. Of course, we didn't realize a boring job could be exhausting, so we might not have the energy to have fun. Or remember what that even meant.
Same
now
too.
I see so many business courses with a similar message. ah, this will be lucrative, they declare. Anyone can do it. And on and on. And then I said, I feel a new crusade coming on. I still want to live in a world where more of us get up in the morning excited about how we're going to spend our time. So that whole notion is so insidious that, okay, yeah, but you'll have, you know, if you work at this job and make enough money, you'll be able to do the stuff you like. But we often made a really bad trade-off with that idea. And when I realized I could create a business that I needed to have a passport for, that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, because you've traveled the world.
I spent years watching airplanes flying over and almost bursting into tears because I couldn't figure out how to get on them and travel. I knew I wanted to travel. And I think that was a huge motivation when I was really getting started with my seminars was, oh my gosh, I can create a business that not only allows me to travel, but also to go where I want to go. And when I was flying out of Minneapolis, I would often be in line at the airport with corporate employees that were going where they were being sent. They had kind of a different attitude than I did, getting excited about going to Toronto.
Yeah, so it's kind of the get to and want to or forced to.
Yeah.
Yeah, have to kind of thing. Yeah.
Right.
So some of the characteristics that are different from an entrepreneur than an employee, like you were talking about with an offering that you're going to be offering to listeners, it's an accountability opportunity that has to do with brainstorming. So many entrepreneurs are obsessed with opportunities. And you had mentioned that when you've had a latest surprise regarding that. You thought there people would, in the brainstorming sessions, would be coming with less ideas than lots of ideas.
Right. And, you know, this is something that I've been hearing for a long, long time from people who are self-employed. I have so many ideas, I don't know what to do first. And that's really part of the process. When we start trusting ourselves to generate ideas, we just keep seeing them everywhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I often tell people, well, you're going to have ideas that you know are good ideas, but they aren't really something you want to do. Keep your eyes open. Maybe there's somebody you could hand it off to. I went through a period with OpenU in Minneapolis where I started doing classes on how to do an English afternoon tea, which was an enormous amount of work.
I remember that. Yes.
Sunday afternoons, and I would spend Sunday morning baking scones, and I'd have to bring all the food. And there was someone who came to one of the classes who was really into tea things, and I just turned it over to her. And she started doing classes at a whole bunch of different adult ed centers in the Twin Cities, which was really cool. And so sometimes we have ideas that are good ideas, but they're not, you know, they don't really belong in our portfolio. And so, you know, we just have to keep evaluating as we go, which ones are keepers and which ones are not. Sometimes we're the one that gets tired of doing something. Sometimes the market shifts. And that willingness to be flexible and trust that, yeah, if this goes away in 6 months, I've got more ideas where that one came from. But a lot of it also is, you know, really connecting with what are the life we want to live.
Yeah. And because our whole society and economy all the way around the world has been, you know, up in a upheaval. It's a great opportunity to really explore a lot of ideas because now people are used to needing to adapt at a quicker rate than we ever have been required to do in the past. And all Absolutely. The problems in our society are just really magnified right now. Yeah. So it's an opportunity really to take some of the ideas that you have. And also for those who are in their business already, you know, it's a really trying time, but I have been having conversations and working with entrepreneurs every single day since this started, like, you know, 7 days a week. And I am just seeing that the creativity that is being delivered and employed right now are...
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I'm just loving it. Like, we're going to need to do a lot more. And one of the entrepreneurial characteristics is to take up, it's called pattern recognition. So you take a look at lots of different areas. So like scanning lots of information across what you're seeing going on from different news medias and just to get a pulse on what's going on so that you can start noticing the signals that are coming from the direction that you think society is moving toward. But you get that through really talking with a wide range of people, with watching a wide range of news media, with having in your niche market, you know, watching social media, noticing patterns that you can uncover so that you can train your mind to anticipate things. Because now we know that our brains are made up of neuroplasticity. And so we can retrain and learn lots of new ideas. We're actually, you know, born that way. So Correct. We're not stuck in one way of thinking about things. We can actually retrain our brain. And that's what your book helps with understanding, is the mindset shift that goes along with that. So I developed a tool many years ago. It's called Entrepreneurial Characteristics Appraisal. There are 18 characteristics. And so if you're interested in exploring what your characteristics are, just contact me and I'll set you up there. And then secondly, Barbara, you've got an offer for our listeners, our We Mentor listeners, for brainstorming sessions for 60 minutes. And you would like to charge $49 for an introductory session. So tell us a little bit more about that and what you've been learning about working with others in that area. Because it's a new way, it's a new offering. I love
Zoom
it.
Zoom is my new best friend.
Who knew?
Who knew? I was a Skype user, but Zoom is a whole nother thing. I absolutely love it. And because I was at home and knew that a lot of other people were working from home right now, I just got this idea, because I love to talk about ideas with people, that I would offer this brainstorming session for people who were stuck. The thing that's been really surprising to me, and I mentioned it to you earlier, Nancy, is that I hear most of the people have told me that what has them stuck is that they have too many ideas right now and they aren't sure which direction to take at the moment. I expected there would be more people who didn't have any ideas that would like to brainstorm to get ideas, but it's been just fascinating. And I've started now getting emails from people that I've done brainstorming with telling me about what they have done to, you know, take the next step for their businesses. And it's pretty darn exciting. So sometimes, you know, when I started my first business, I really didn't know anybody else who was self-employed. And I now encourage people to really, you know, you don't need 100 entrepreneurial friends, but you need a handful. And having just a conversation like this on Zoom and looking at your business. And the other thing that has happened that I didn't realize, but I should have, because it's sort of normal with me, is that once I talk to somebody and they're on my radar, if I come across resources, you know, read about a book or a program or something that would be a fit for somebody, I, you know, zip the information off to them. So it isn't really just about brainstorming. You could be stuck with me for years.
Pleasantly stuck.
Pleasantly stuck, sending things along to you. So anyway, they can go to my website, joyfullyjobless.com, and right on the homepage is tells you how to sign up. And it's really simple. You sign up and pay for it, and then I send you an email and ask you to tell me what you'd like to talk about. And then we find a time that works for both of us, and we jump on Zoom and have at it.
That sounds terrific. Barbara, what I was curious to know about these brainstorming sessions is you've been having these like around the world. And
right.
How different are the ideas?
You know, it's really interesting because I grew up hearing that the United States was a land of opportunity. And I remember a few years ago, I was doing a seminar in London, and we had people from Monaco and Scandinavia and France and Ireland. And I just thought, entrepreneurial spirit is universal. It really doesn't have anything to do with where you live. It has to do more with who you are and who you want to be. And it's been interesting to me, the people that I've talked to in other countries on brainstorming are doing things that would be very familiar to people here. Like there was a fellow in Melbourne, Australia, who has a guitar. He's a musician, but he also has a kind of a studio and helps beginning guitarists or guitarists that want to improve their skills. So he does some teaching as well and works one-on-one with other musicians and that sort of thing. And he has just expanded his business very quickly since we had our brainstorming chat. There was a woman in New Zealand who was doing some health and wellness things, and I think she did EFT. I'm not sure about that. So, you know, it has been all very familiar kinds of things.
Yeah, just applied differently in some of, you know, the country that they're in.
Precisely. And, you know, and when I was going to London frequently and doing seminars there, I can remember the first time I went having this feeling like, well, maybe I don't have anything to say to these people. couldn't have been more wrong.
Thank God.
Have been more wrong. Yeah. And we ended up having retreats there and just all sorts of really wonderful, wonderful things. We did a retreat one time in the Lake District, which is just so exquisitely beautiful in England. And we had people there from several countries, too. And some of them have stayed in touch with me, and I've watched them just do all sorts of amazing things. So.
Oh, that's great. Thank goodness you're coming for, we're going to have a second conversation, because I would like to explore the three you've got. You know, the first part of the book is really kind of getting to know who you are and doing the homework around who you're becoming. And
right.
the last part of your books, or the last three sections, are really about, you know, exploring a concept that you have coined called multiple profit centers. So we'll be talking about that in our next conversation. And it has to do with another chapter you write about, which is turning passions into profits and then creating your world headquarters. So I encourage everybody to brainstorm with Barbara. We always laugh about the world headquarters because it might be you that's the one moving around the world.
I do have a sign on the door to my home office that says Winning Ways World Headquarters that a woman who was in one of my seminars once who had a business that made things like that made for me. So I'm quite proud of it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. So for only $49, get connected with Barbara and she can help you brainstorm and move you in a direction. It's the most delightful experience that you could ever possibly have. And thank you so much for your friendship over the years, Barbara. I know we just recently kind of reconnected. We've just been kindred spirits all these years and I just love you dearly.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And make sure that you continue listening. We're going to have lots of different ways that you can look at your life in a way through the eyes of a multi-profit center. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, Mon Frere, brother from another mother. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks for tuning in. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our WeMentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through WeMentor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a WeMentor mini lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in WeMentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out WeMentor.com. You can email me, Nancy, at WeMentor.com or call me, 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening and we'll see you next week.